Hey guys, welcome back to Crime Ghoul, a true crime podcast where I'm your host, Brittany, and as always, we talk about all things true crime. Welcome back for another episode. I hope you enjoyed Season 2, Episode 1 last week, The Idaho 4. Definitely let me know your thoughts, head over to my social medias, and feel free to DM me, comment on something, you know, one of the posts related to the case. I love talking to you guys and hearing what you have to say, so super excited. I am super happy about how many of you have actually listened to me talk about these true crime cases. I've been welcomed back into the true crime community, and it really is heartwarming, and I'm happy that I have a place here where people allow me to speak freely and advocate about these cases and support me and support, you know, the people that I talk about in, you know, these episodes. So it's really overwhelming. I'm super happy to be back, and I'm super stoked for what's ahead. So last week we were in Idaho. This week I'm taking you to Massachusetts. So get ready. This case is about the disappearance of Anna Walsh. And I don't know if you guys have heard about this. This is also somewhat of a high profile case, but I'm still shocked to hear how many people have not heard of this case or how it just kind of like passed some people's radars. I remember when this first hit the news and I was just like shocked and flabbergasted, which you'll see why as I start to tell you more about it. So I'm happy to bring some awareness to this case and to Anna's story. This is an ongoing case in real time. And, you know, the goal here is to get justice for Anna Walsh. So that's really why I want to talk about this case today. So I hope you are ready to hear it. So without further ado, me and my co-host Kylo, as you know, the pup himself, we are sending you to either brew yourself a cup of coffee, pour yourself a glass of wine, or perhaps take a shot of whiskey. Because as always, these true crime cases are not for the faint of heart. Thank you so much for listening. Our story takes place in the adorable and affluent seaside town, Cohasset, Massachusetts. It's just 15 miles south of Boston. It's a welcoming town, and when the weather is warm, you could catch some sailing lessons down by the harbor, and year-round, it is a fisherman's town. There are stunning houses that can be found along the coast, and the neighborhoods are close and tight-knit, with an amazing public school system, which is one of the best ones in Massachusetts. You know, Cohasset has a beautiful town beach with white sands and these inviting blue waters. You'll see the residents cooling off here in the summer, taking a dip in the ocean, and enjoying their life with their families. They have multiple restaurant options located on their popular Main Street, and, you know, when you walk along Main Street, you're really greeted by happy locals. You'll see a cute general store, and you get all of the village feels with all of the small shops and all the vibes. So to get situated in our case today, it's important to understand the timeline here. So we are gonna, of course, rewind the clock and go back to New Year's Eve of 2022. And this case will continue on into early January 2023 to even now. So here we are in this picturesque town of Cohasset, and the Walsh family lived in this town for the most part. The family's made up of Anna Walsh, her husband Brian, and their three children. Anna worked in real estate, and she split her time between Massachusetts and Washington, D.C., where she worked really hard for her family. Her children were all boys, a boy mom, and they were ages 2, 4, and 6. Anna was 39 and Brian was 46. They got married back in 2015, and from the outside looking in, of course, as cheesy and, cliche as it sounds, from the outside looking in, they had the perfect marriage, the perfect family, and the perfect life. The Walshes were even married in Serbia. Anna Walsh was actually originally from Serbia, and she was ready to take on the world, and she did just that. Back in 2005, she headed over here to the United States to work seasonal jobs in the hospitality industry. And then in 2008, she worked at the Wheatley Hotel in Lenox, Massachusetts, where she actually met Brian. Anna would say that it was love at first sight, and the rest was history. Sounds super cute. Yeah. From the get-go, Anna was a driven go-getter, whereas Brian was born into his wealth. His father was a prominent neurosurgeon named Dr. Thomas Walsh, and Brian allegedly worked as a business strategist and CFO. And I say allegedly because Well, I guess you'll find out, but allegedly he worked as a business strategist and CFO. Anywho, Anna Walsh had a long resume. She worked in many hotels in several different states, and she climbed the ladder in the hospitality industry. She then made her way into a global real estate agency, and she was selling some of the most iconic buildings in the world. She traveled to Washington, D.C. a lot because this is where she was based out of for her job. Anna was literally living the American dream. Like, she traveled here from another country, moved her life, started working really hard, and she achieved great success. So on January 4th, 2023, the Cohasset Police Department was called to check on Anna. Her employer became uneasy when Anna didn't show up to work that morning. This was completely out of character for her. This woman was prompt. She was on time. She didn't miss a beat. So for her not to show up when her job was expecting her back on January 3rd, they became really worried and they called the police. So on the evening of January 4th, police drove to the Walsh home and Brian was there and he said he hadn't seen Anna in a couple of days. I'm sorry, like, what do you mean you haven't seen your wife in a couple of days? What do you mean she's been missing for a couple of days? And wait a second, you also did not notify law enforcement. That's interesting. So Brian recounted the following story to police. He stated that on New Year's Eve, they had a friend over for dinner and drinks and they celebrated the new year. That friend was Jem Mutlu, or Mutlu? Sorry, Jem, if I'm botching your name, but it was Jem. He was a global real estate consultant and he worked with Anna. The pair had become close friends and they were practically family. So Brian stated that Jem left around 1 to 1:30 a.m. after ringing in the new year, and he claimed that he and Anna went to bed shortly thereafter. Brian said that he woke up the next morning on January 1st to Anna apprehensively stating that she had to go to work in Washington, D.C. And he said that this was around 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. and he was still in bed when she kissed him goodbye. But she seemed really, like, you know, shook it up, like she had to go. She was very, like, you know, hyper on the go. This was important. So Brian stated that she would normally take a rideshare to the airport, and he presumed that she did that same thing that morning, because that was the usual. He also stated that that was the last time he saw or heard from his wife. So, what happened after Anna allegedly left their beautiful home? Well, that morning Brian stated that he got up and he made himself breakfast, and he made his kids breakfast. He then did some grocery shopping, and he went to visit his mother in a nearby town. She lived very close by. Interestingly enough, he stated that he did not have his phone when he went to visit his mother. So of course, there wasn't any location data to prove that he was actually there. He claimed that one of his kids stole and hid his phone that morning. He also stated that on his way to visit his mother, he got lost, which is rather odd because Brian was actually a native to Boston and, like, the Boston area, the Massachusetts, you know, the state of Massachusetts, I should say. He likely had made this drive to his mother's condominium multiple times, so he got lost. Interesting. Right? That's interesting. Over the next few days, the kids were off from school for their winter break, and Brian stated that he was spending a lot of time with them. So right off the bat, Brian did not seem worried or concerned enough, in my opinion, and probably the opinions of the police officers. But on January 12th, a prayer vigil was held for the missing mother. Friends and family desperately prayed for their beloved Anna to come home. Members of Cohasset came together and the small town banded together to search for this beloved local woman. The love and support was strong. So, okay, this woman's missing for a week, a little over a week, and her husband is still not very concerned. Sketchy, awkward, not good, scary. So who the hell is this scary, sketchy-ass man, Brian Walsh? Well, for one thing, he was not the most trustworthy person, and he was actually a terrible liar. So he also has no regard for other people. There's that. So in 2016, Brian tricked a Los Angeles art dealer to purchasing two Andy Warhol paintings that he was selling on eBay. Brian sold them for $80,000, and the art dealer flew all the way from LA to Massachusetts to make this purchase. Brian deposited that money into his bank account immediately. The art dealer noticed almost right away that the paintings were phony. There were no official stamps on the paintings like there were in the photos online, and the pictures were not identical to the painting selling photos on eBay. Go figure. It's scary. You know, eBay is like weird. It's like sometimes you have those sellers who are like spot on and great and amazing and truthful, and then you have those others that are very sketchy. Gosh, there's like no in between. But needless to say, the dealer speedily contacted Brian, and of course he got no answer. He then called Brian's mother and then Anna, and he actually contacted Anna at her workplace. Not long thereafter, Brian responded to the dealer with an email. And to paraphrase, Brian told the dealer that he was sorry for the mix-up and he himself might be the victim of some type of scam. So he was acting like he was very flabbergasted and confused and like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Thank you for being so kind to my wife when you reached out and, you know, whatever. I'm going to investigate and look into this. And then Brian further explained that he would issue the dealer a full refund. But surprise, he never did. The dealer continued to reach out and Brian continued to pull shit out of his ass and explained that something was happening with the banks. And because it was a large sum of money, it must have been taking too long. Yeah. Okay, Brian. He eventually sent the dealer just $30,000. And of course, this guy was fed up by this point. He had it. He was like, screw that. I want my money. You're not giving it to me. Cool. I'm going to call the FBI. And he did that. So in April of 2021, Brian pled guilty to several charges related to that situation. And throughout this frustrating situation, somehow Anna wrote a letter to the judge supporting her husband. I guess like that's what you're supposed to do, you know, in your marriage, you support one another till death do us part, yada, yada, yada. I don't know, red flags. I'm sure red flags were going off for this woman, alarm bells, but what are you gonna do? You're married to this person. Who knows what's going on behind, you know, behind the scenes. So she wrote this letter to the judge and stated that Brian was a great man and he made a mistake and then he was going to work hard and learn from it. And believe it or not, Brian was only put on house arrest and he had to repay the money that he stole, which he was still in the process of repaying. But house arrest, that's it. For completely conning this man out of like $80,000. Like, I don't know. That's a little crazy. Very crazy. But it gets crazier, people. Brian sold these phony pieces of art, but at one point, he did have the real thing. And guess what? He stole the original art from his friend. Yeah, that's right. He's a shitty friend on top of all of this. So Brian had met his friend in college, and they remained friends. And this guy was from South Korea, and Brian actually went all the way over there to visit him. He saw that his friend had two Andy Warhol paintings, and Brian offered the friend some help in selling the art for a pretty penny and said, you know, like, we can make a lot of money off of this. Let me help you sell it, you know. And the friend was like, okay, we'll give you some money. If you can get them sold for me, cool, let's do it. So the friend took him up on the offer, and Brian returned to America with the art. And of course, I don't know if you could guess it, but he immediately ghosted his friend and he sold the artwork without even telling him. And then he kept the money for himself. Absolutely out of control. So Brian sold the original paintings to someone located out of the country and his college friend was never able to get those pieces of artwork back. So yeah, now he's out of all this money. He's out of real artwork. He has a shitty friend and lost a person that he potentially really cared about. There's a lot of problems here. So my question is, what was Brian doing with this money? He was so careless, he was visibly lying, and terribly, I might add, but like, he thought he could just waltz through life conning people. Like, there's something wrong with this man, like something not right, and I know that's pretty obvious, but like really, like what's going on? Like, you have to wonder, like, what is going on upstairs? I am curious. But listen to this. Those alleged jobs he had, you know, the ones I said earlier, allegedly, and you would see why. Well, here's what I mean. You know, he said he was a financial advisor and a CFO, and those jobs would prove to be bullcrap, just about like everything else. They weren't real. He put that $80,000 that he took from the art dealer with the fake photos, and he put that into his fake business to showcase to possible employers that he had done something, that, you know, he had something to show for. So it was just that money that was taken from the art dealer to be supporting his fake business. It's crazy and it's just downright horrible. But Brian even lied to his friends about his supposed wealth. You know, he lived in this affluent town, this big, beautiful white house with this beautiful wife, and they wondered, man, how are you doing it? And he stated that he made a computer software while he was in college and that he got rich from it, which is also bullcrap. So it makes you wonder, what did Anna think of all of this? And did she understand the extent to this man's like depravity, which I'm sure she did, you know, It's her husband. She's living with him. I don't know, but I guess she was trying to support him. But they were living this affluent lifestyle and going to dinners that cost like $20,000, like a pop. They were living in their expensive home and just having their high-end life, which, I mean, with Anna's like occupation, that makes sense. But with Brian's bullcrap, not so much. So how is this like facade not crumbling? Well, it was. It just from the outside didn't really seem so. But it gets worse. Brian's dad died back in 2018, and the two had not spoken in a decade because Brian was constantly stealing money from him. About $1 million to be exact. So his father cut ties with his son, he cut him out of the will, and they didn't speak for that decade. And 3 months after his father passed away, Brian named himself as representative of his father's estate and he destroyed the will, which how the heck does that even happen? How is that even allowed? Like, he was cut out of the will. How did he do that? I'm not well versed in that, but if somebody knows, feel free to tell me because I'm super freaking curious. Maybe I'll look at it after this, but yeah, what the hell? How does this happen? So he went through his father's home and on top of like destroying the will and doing all this horrible crap, he's going through his father's stuff, which is like really nice, like antiques, pottery, jewelry, paintings, and he sold everything that he could, including the house. So obviously this gets even more sticky and problematic because Brian and his cousin actually got into a fight over this because Brian's father named the cousin as the rightful heir to his estate. Craziness, just absolute, like, talk about family drama, man. Like, this is crazy. But you want to know something else? And I know this rabbit hole seems like it's never ending, like Alice in Wonderland type crap, but seriously, it is never ending. But Brian had been in a psychiatric ward at one point. He actually had been there for long term, and he was a patient at Austin Riggs Psychiatric Center in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. And according to a friend of the family, he was a diagnosed sociopath. But I will tell you that as someone who works in the mental health field, there actually is no diagnosis for sociopathy, or you can't diagnose somebody as a sociopath. So it's actually a non-diagnostic term. So instead, it's possible that Brian was actually diagnosed with antisocial personality disorder. And that's a mental disorder characterized by a complete and total disregard for others, amongst other things. So that's the more likely or probable diagnosis, but we don't obviously have record of his mental health records. You know, those are private, but this is just going based off of what a close family friend said. To continue on with this case, Brian was still on house arrest when his wife went missing. And while on house arrest, he had to have a pre-approved itinerary in order to leave the house. And let me tell you, in the days of his wife's disappearance, Brian would be caught lying to police about his whereabouts, and he had no itinerary. So there were so many lies, and I don't know how this guy was keeping them all straight in his head, but police started uncovering dark information while investigating Anna's disappearance. So get ready for this one because it's a lot. And this is a time when I will give you a trigger warning because the following information is not easy to hear. Brian had been making searches online using his son's iPad. And mind you, some of these searches were prior to Anna's disappearance, like leading up to her disappearance, like just a few days before. And they continued on right after, like when the police were still investigating, like this was just happening in real time. So this is what he searched. What's the best date to divorce a man? How long before a body starts to smell? How to stop a body from decomposing? How to embalm a body? 10 ways to dispose of a body if you really need to? How long for someone to be missing to inherit? Can you throw away body parts? What does formaldehyde do? How long does DNA last? Can identification be made on partial remains? Dismemberment and best way to dispose of a body. How to clean blood from a wooden floor. Luminol to detect blood. What happens when you put body parts in ammonia? Is it better to throw crime scene clothes away or wash them? Hacksaw, best tool to dismember. Can you be charged with the murder without a body? Can you identify a body with broken teeth? And what happens to hair on a dead body? What is the rate of decomposition of a dead body found in a plastic bag compared to on a surface of the woods? Can baking soda make a body smell good? So, yeah, absolutely horrendous. Brian Walsh has to be one of the most stupid people out there. He's the type of guy that true crime memes are made of, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, head over to my Instagram, crimeghoul_, to check it out. But you know what? Thank God this man is stupid, so we can get justice for his wife. Anyway, Brian left voicemails for his friends. And here's a clip of one of them.
Good afternoon, it's Brian Walsh. I hope all is going well. I was just reaching out to basically everybody I could. Anna hasn't been in touch for a few days. Do you know anyone that might have had contact with her? Calling everyone. So sorry to bother you. I'm sure everything's fine.
So on the day that police arrived at the Walsh house to look for Anna, they checked Brian's story. And he had claimed to have gone to a few stores, but when cops looked into it and the CCTV footage, they did not see him in any of the stores he had claimed to have been in. He also had no receipts proving that he was there. On January 2nd, he stated that he went to Press Juice Bar and nowhere else, but police found that he was actually lying because he went to Home Depot and paid in cash. He also went to another store to buy surgical masks and gloves. So, what did he buy at the Home Depot? Oh, you know, just your average everyday Home Depot purchase. Just $450 worth of cleaning equipment and supplies. He purchased tarps, mops, tape, mop buckets, and drop cloths. Yeah, your average Home Depot purchase, as he would say. The next day, on January 3rd, he drove over 30 minutes to Abington, Massachusetts, where he placed what looked like a big black heavy garbage bag into a dumpster, and then he traveled to another dumpster to dispose of more items. The really unfortunate part of all of this is that police figured this out too late. They were behind, and it's not their fault, it just turned out this way. And as we all know, investigations take time, they don't just play out really quickly like in CSI. But everything Brian disposed of in the dumpsters had already been emptied, shredded, and incinerated. So here is what we can deduce from all of this information. Some of those disturbing searches were made just hours after their friend Jem had left that night. And in the wee hours of New Year's Day of this year, it is likely that Brian murdered Anna. On January 1st is when he made searches about cleaning up crime scenes and how to dispose of a dead body, DNA, and blood. Then on January 2nd, it is likely that he dismembered or tried to dismember Anna, because that is when he made the searches about doing that. And on the 3rd, he likely disposed of her remains and whatever else, because that is when he made those searches. So that's kind of like a general like breakdown of the searches he made and the days it like corresponds to. So right away, his story sounded completely bogus to the police. The police also discovered that there was no emergency that Anna needed to attend to for work, and her job was not expecting her back until January 3rd, so again, Brian's story was just not making sense. So it completely disturbs and disgusts me, like God only knows what their three children experienced January 1st through the 3rd, because obviously, like, this is no easy task to get rid of a body and do all of these things. Like, I pray to God they weren't there for that. Like, did they hear them fighting that fateful night? Did they hear their father dismember their mother? What did they experience? And I'm sure they were missing their mom and asking questions like, hey, Dad, where's mom? So it's just absolutely atrocious. And I don't know, Brian is just a complete abomination. I don't know what you guys think about that, but it's just very disturbing. But police investigated Brian's car and found that the seats were down and a plastic liner was laid, you know, flat in the back. And he just acted like this was no problem. Like, yeah, this is just, you know, this is just what I do to protect the inside of the car. But I don't know. Obviously, like, with your wife missing and, you know, your story not adding up, it's not sounding very good. But police recovered trash bags near his mother's house, the one that was just, you know, about 20 minutes away from his own house. And inside of those trash bags, they found blood, stains, cleaning materials, a hacksaw, and a hatchet. And they also found Anna's purse and boots, along with her COVID vaccine card. They continued to search the home, and they even drained their in-ground pool and searched the nearby woods. They searched the home, and in the basement, they found blood and a bloody knife. So he didn't even get rid of those things. Like, you just can't make this up. Finally, on January 8th, Brian was arrested. And initially, he was arrested for misleading a police investigation because, obviously, he outright lied to the officers about his whereabouts. And then he had the nerve to plead not guilty. A week later, he was charged with the murder of his wife on the basis of the items found, his conflicting story, and his browser history. And again, he pled not guilty. interesting. As he was read the charges in court, there just seems to be absolutely nothing behind his eyes. I feel like in some people, you can really just see the evil, like you can feel it. And he's one of those people, like there's just nothing there. So even if you go take a look at a picture or just a video of him, it's just like unsettling. But one more thing would come up from the past. This played a pivotal role in the trial. Back in 2014, Anna actually filed a police report. She stated that a suspect from Boston had threatened her during a phone call, and this man threatened to kill her and her friend. And this complaint or police report was filed in Washington, D.C. And the suspect is believed to be Brian, but unfortunately, no charges were ever pressed going forward, and there was never a name put on this police report. I'm wondering, like, did Anna know it was her husband? Like, was this just an anonymous phone call? But there's really not a lot of information about it. So that's chilling in itself. And in 2018, a concerning photo was posted by Anna. Anna was a big social media user. Like, she posted everything to Facebook and Instagram. And it was always like photos of her life and of herself, what she was doing on the daily. And, you know, her friends grew concerned when her media started to go radio silent. But also, it's important to mention back in 2018, she posted a photo of herself and she had a big bruise under her left eyebrow. And she would claim in the post that she fell while at work. And it makes you wonder if that was true. Prosecutors in the case state that Brian suspected his wife was having an affair, and his mother hired a private investigator to follow Anna in the days before he allegedly killed and dismembered her. And as I said before, from the outside looking in, social media and appearances painted a rosy picture of the Walsh family. However, the days leading up to Anna's disappearance were anything but that. They were actually full of turmoil. So Brian was, of course, in trouble with the law. He was already on house arrest for the Andy Warhol situation, and he was in the middle of a legal battle over his father's estate. On December 28th of 2022, Anna allegedly told a friend that she believed Brian's legal troubles would result in his incarceration, and said that she was prepared to leave him and take their children to Washington, D.C. to start a new life, and to be closer to her job. Brian believed that his wife was cheating on him and routinely visited the Instagram page of one of her male friends from Washington, D.C. Brian's mother actually went out of her way to hire that private investigator to find out about this affair, even though Brian has stated numerous times that he never thought that was necessary. Who knows if that's true, but also it makes you wonder, like, what did his mom know in the days leading up or the days of Anna's disappearance? On top of all of this, there was a potential financial motive. Anna had a total of $2.7 million in life insurance policies, all with Brian as the sole beneficiary. And we know how he is with money and inheritance. Brian is being held without bail and he maintains his innocence. He was indicted back in March by a grand jury on charges including murder, misleading a police investigation, obstruction of justice, and improper conveyance of a human body. Items from the case were sent to an independent laboratory for DNA analysis, and results are expected literally any day now. So we wait. We wait for the results. We wait for more answers. But this DNA analysis will be vital for this case. Brian's next pretrial hearing is November 2nd of this year, and I will continue to update you guys with new information as we get more details. Until then, remember that not everything is as it seems, especially on social media. You never know what happens behind closed doors. And if you find yourself comparing yourself to others, don't. Those people may have a seemingly nice life, but what is behind the post? What is going on outside of the highlight reel? That we don't know. The truth is, we never know. So hop on over to my socials, let me know what you guys think in the comments, or, you know, leave me a message, whatever it is. I'm really curious to hear your thoughts. Do you think Brian Walsh is innocent or guilty? Hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, and I will see you next week with a brand new episode. Until then, bye!